Welcome to CFRI Cystic Fibrosis Community Voices, a video podcast series created by and for the cystic fibrosis community.
Everyone knows who you are.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sriram Vaidyanathan. I'm an instructor at Stanford University. I work in the lab of Dr. Matthew Porteous. So over the past 5 years, I've been working on developing a gene correction strategy to treat cystic fibrosis. And over the course of time, I came to learn about CF in Asians as an additional topic of interest for myself because of the fact that I come from South Asia and therefore I belong to the Asian community. And so this became a personal interest. So in going through this, I wanted to first start with an introduction of what is CF, and even beyond that, what is a genetic disease? So as we all know, we've probably all heard of the term genes. So DNA codes for the basic properties or genetic information that's contained in all of us. And this genetic information is then converted into proteins, which then execute all of these various functions. And then this results in all of our attributes, like our height, like our skin color, intelligence, and so on and so forth. Now, as you can imagine with any sort of information, when it's copied repeatedly, you can inadvertently make mistakes. Some of these mistakes are very inconsequential. So if you're from South Asia, we all have various different spellings for all the same names, and that's very inconsequential. So here's an example of my name. Now, sometimes some other minor changes can actually become problematic. So here, for example, Mumbai versus Bombay can evoke strong responses in people. So in a similar manner, if you have a genetic mutation, so if the information that's being copied in your DNA, there are errors in that information, then you might have some trouble with your normal physiological function. And so cystic fibrosis is one of those diseases which is caused by errors in this gene called the cystic fibrosis transmembrane conductance regulator. So this protein codes for an ion channel, which helps your body transport chloride ions from one side of an epithelial layer to the other side. And when you have mutations in this channel, your chloride transport is affected. And this ion channel can probably also transport other ions, but we'll focus mostly just on this here, right? And then going into the genetics of it, right? So this is what's called a recessive disease. So most of us, all of us get two copies of most genes, one from each parent. And so in the case of CF, if you get two working copies, you're fine. And in the case of CF, even if you just get only one working copy, you're fine in that scenario as well. However, if you get two copies with mutations from one from each parent, then you will have CF, right? So as an extension, each parent must then be a carrier. So they have one mistaken copy of this gene, and then they don't have any symptoms, and they probably don't even know that only one copy of CFTR gene is functional in them. And then another sort of layer of complexity is that when you think of copying over a long piece of information, you can make mistakes in any number of places. And so in the case of the CFTR gene, there have been about 1,700 different mistakes or mutations that have been reported. So these are all just the mistakes that we know of that have a functional consequence in the function of CFTR. And some of these mistakes result in a very high burden disease, and some other mistakes result in a low burden disease. And then when we think about how CF affects your body, CF is a disease that can affect multiple different parts of the body. So CFTR is expressed in your sweat glands. It's expressed in your respiratory tracts and nasal passages. And it's also expressed in your GI tract and reproductive tracts. And as a consequence, then if you look at symptoms, you can have symptoms associated with all of these organs. So babies born with CF often have saltier sweat. CF patients often present repeated chronic sinus infections. They also have severe repeated respiratory infections. And then they also often tend to have gastrointestinal problems. So blocked intestine, poor growth, trouble absorbing food, bulky, greasy stools, and so on and so forth. But if you look at CF patients at present, most of of their severe problems tend to be focused on the lungs. That's the leading cause of death in CF patients today. About 90% of the reported cause of death in CF patients in the latest registry is related to some form of lung dysfunction. And then when we think about the people that CF affects, CF has historically been characterized most thoroughly in Caucasians. However, CF does affect people of all races. So about 1 in 3,000 newborn babies who are Caucasian are affected by CF. And we think there are about 70 to 100,000 CF patients in North America, Europe, and Oceania, right? But when you look at other races, so for example, we think that about 1 in 17,000 African-Americans are affected by CF, and maybe about 1 in 31,000 Asian-Americans might be affected by CF. However, the thing to remember here is these are estimates not necessarily based completely on studies in Asia or Africa. Oftentimes, a lot of data for these estimates tend to come from other countries, for example, the US, where you have an expat population of people originating from these countries, right? So in that context, right, when I came to Stanford, I was having this conversation with somebody at the CF Center at Stanford, and they mentioned that there were several CF patients of South Asian origin at Stanford, which sparked a curiosity. And then so I partnered with Dr. Zach Sellers, who is an assistant professor now at Stanford here, and he's also a physician who treats CF patients. So together we partnered with the Center for Asian Health Research and Education, and we had 4 students who helped us out on this project to look at the under-detection of CF-causing mutations in South and East Asians. And because CF is so poorly characterized in the native countries of South Asia and East Asia and other parts of Asia, we actually went to the registries maintained by the USA, UK, and Canada. So as a result, our study also really just focuses on the expat population. But our hope is if we find enough patients in these registries, then the numbers that we then come up with would be more close to what's the real picture in these countries, right? And it might also give us more motivation to then go screen more intensively in these populations. And so we actually started the study pretty broadly. We were interested in CF in the wider Asian population. So we first started at Stanford, and we went through our clinical database and looked at all the Asian patients we could identify by name. And we realized that over 80% of the Asian CF patients at Stanford tended to have an origin in South Asia. And the other roughly 20% came from East Asia. And so then when we asked for data from the other registries, namely the UK and Canada, we also saw a very similar statistic. About 70 to 90% of patients in both registries who are Asian were of South Asian descent, and then people from other parts of Asia formed a relatively lower fraction of Asian CF patients in both of these registries. The US does not disaggregate people from different parts of Asia. We're all lumped together as Asian, so we actually don't have any numbers from the US for that reason. And then another factor that we need to think about is, okay, so it does seem that CF affects South Asians much more frequently. So then the next natural question is, are the mutations or the mistakes that happen in CFTR similar between South Asians and Caucasians and other populations where CF is much more prevalent? So when you look at CF in the Caucasian population, the mutation F508del tends to be much more common. But when you look at the South Asian population or the other Asian population, only about 40 to 50% of patients have at least one copy of the F508del mutation, which then raises the next question, what are the other mutations that might be affecting South Asians? So I'm here only plotting the South Asian data set because CF seems to be more common in the South Asian population, but we will do another separate series probably with people from other parts of Asia. But in South Asians, what you see is that, the kind of disappointing thing here is that the third most frequent mutation is actually unknown. So this tells you that more work actually needs to be done in characterizing how CF affects this population, right? But then this kind of raises the other question, why is it so important to understand the mutations that cause CF? So that has to do with how CF is diagnosed and treated. So when you look at the diagnosis of CF, it does increasingly become mutation specific. So CF patients often, if babies are born in the US, UK, or Canada, or most advanced countries, you go through what's called a newborn screen. And in this screen, patients are subjected to non-genetic tests. So remember how I told you that patients with CF have saltier sweat. So they actually test for the chloride levels in the sweat obtained from these babies. And if it's above a certain level, then they get sent for further follow-up. They also look for certain levels of a digestive enzyme that's present in blood. And if it's above a certain level, then they get sent for further follow-up. And then if patients are positive in one of these tests, then they get followed up with genetic tests. However, genetic tests, at least in the newborn screening program, are often really centered around known mutations with a very high, or not necessarily high, but known mutations with a high enough frequency in order to be included in the panel. This is done for the purpose of cost effectiveness. And so if you tend to have a mutation that is maybe not known to be very common, then you might be missed, right? So if you're a patient, if you're a person of South Asian origin or Asian origin in general, you might have a mutation that's very common in Asia, but that's actually not very common in the US, and therefore your mutation may not be in the panel, right? And therefore it might be missed, right? So we looked at our South Asian cohort to see, okay, what is the probability that you might have two mutations that are not in the panel? Because if you have one mutation that gets picked up in this panel, you're going to be sent for further follow-up. So what's really the probability that you have two mutations that are not a part of this panel? And we were really surprised to find out that 6 out of the 9 most frequent mutations, other than the unknown, were actually not part of the most popular panel. Now, if your baby was born in California, you're protected from this to an extent because California does full CFTR sequencing. So their screening method really doesn't depend on known mutations or unknown mutations. They just read the entire gene. And if there's a mistake and your other symptoms match up, you're going to be followed up. Right. Another reason why this mutation that affects Asian patients might matter is that mutations affect the treatment of CF patients. So for the first several decades after the discovery of CF or CFTR and the cause for CF, we relied on symptomatic treatments like antibiotics, enzyme supplements, and other supportive therapies. And we were actually successful in improving the lifespan by about a factor of 10. So if you go back to the 1940s, patients often didn't make it to their fifth birthday. By about 2010, we were hitting a median survival of about 40 years. Right? And over the last decade, new therapies called modulator therapies have been introduced into the market, and these have revolutionized the care of CF patients. So what these drugs do is they bind to the CF protein, and then they enable the transport of the chloride ions across the channel. So they basically force the channel to stay open and allow the transport of chloride ions. But when you look at the modulator therapies are designed to treat, the most effective modulators at this point are designed to treat patients who are affected by the F508del mutation. So you need to have at least one copy of the F508del mutation, and there are a few other mutations that also respond to these modulators, but you need to have one of those mutations that respond to those modulators in order to be benefit from this new therapeutic modality. So then we look to see how many of our South Asian patients may be eligible to be treated using modulator therapies. And we were again surprised to find out that about six out of the 9 most frequent mutations that are seen in South Asians are not responsive to modulator therapies. So then we then also went on to look to see, how many patients have two mutations that don't respond to modulators. And then we still came up with a pretty high number, about 30 to 40% of patients, at least in the registries, have two mutations that do not respond to modulators. So there's definitely more work that needs to be done to develop therapies for patients from parts of Asia, particularly South Asia. That said, supportive therapies themselves have improved survival from less than 5 years to 40 years. Therefore, timely diagnosis and treatment of CF is very important for ensuring improved survival of CF patients. And then lastly, in this context, I've been working on using genome editing of airway stem cells outside the body as a strategy to develop a therapy for cystic fibrosis that might actually be applicable to all patients. So we've developed a strategy that's agnostic to the type of mutation that affects patients, so we can replace the entire gene. And our idea is that we can take airway stem cells outside the body and then correct them. And then the hope is that we will one day be able to transplant these corrected cells back into patients. And so that's just one group working on one strategy, and there are multiple groups working on developing strategies that are mutation agnostic that can be applicable to all the CF patients, in addition to the patients who are already being treated using modulator therapies. So I'd like to conclude by saying that CF is a fatal disease. However, we have managed to improve the survival of CF patients, and median survival now is 48 years in the US. And CF does affect South Asians. It affects all Asians, but it seems to particularly affect South Asians. And therefore, we should not procrastinate in terms of getting a diagnosis if you have reasons to suspect that you or somebody you know may be affected by CF. And lastly, Asian patients tend to be affected by rarer mutations that cause CF. And this has implications both in diagnosis and treatment. And so again, there's another reason for us to pay closer attention to the possibility of CF in this population and come up with new methods to diagnose and treat these patients. Thank you for your attention, and thanks to CFRI for putting together this wonderful educational video.